The missile screeched away into the night, striking the workboat square amidships of the hull just above the waterline. For an instant, the explosion came as an insignificant blast, but it had penetrated the plates of the hull before bursting inside the engine room. The entire channel was suddenly illuminated as a brilliant orange and red ball painted the towering cliffs. Pitt hurled the missile launcher far over the cliff into the water below. The pain in his cut and bleeding feet came back to torment him, and he limped up to the guardhouse and entered. He rummaged around the cabinets until he found a first aid kit. Minutes later, after a heavy swabbing with antiseptic, his throbbing feet were encased in bandages thick enough for him to walk on. He emptied half a can of gasoline for a portable generator that provided energy for the lights and radio, and lit it with a box of matches, sitting in an ashtray stacked with cigarettes. As the interior erupted in flames, he hobbled back down the path leading to the lagoon. When he arrived, he found Giordino and Misty waiting for him on the beach. Resting with its bow in the sand was a launch with two crewmen from the survey ship. Giordino walked up to him and embraced him. "For a while there, I thought you'd been sidetracked by a luscious native girl." Pitt hugged his friend in return. "I guess I did cut it a mite close." He gave Misty a gentlemanly kiss and then looked around the lagoon. "You came in the ship's launch?" Misty nodded. "The old man brought his yacht alongside Deep Encounter and transferred me on board." "Where is he?" Misty shrugged. "After talking briefly with Captain Birch, he sailed off to continue his round-the-world cruise." "I never get a chance to thank him," said Pitt regretfully.
"He was a funny old guy," said Giordino. "He said we'd probably meet up again."
"Who knows?" Pitt said wistfully. "Anything is possible." Under orders from Admiral Sandecker, Captain Birch steered a course straight to the port city of Nuku'alofa, the capital town of the island nation of Tonga, the only remaining Polynesian monarchy. A car was waiting for Pitt and Giordino to rush them to the international airport at Fua'amotu, where they could immediately board a Royal Tongan airliner for Hawaii. From there, a Numa jet would take them onto Washington. After the aircraft touched down at Langley Air Force Base, Giordino went to his condo in Alexandria to clean up and call a bevy of his girlfriends to let them know he was back in circulation. Pitt postponed the comforts of home and took a Numa jeep to the headquarters on the East Hill overlooking the Potomac River. There, he took the elevator up to the 10th floor, the domain of Hiram Yeager, the agency's computer genius. Yeager looked like an old hippie with his graying hair tied in a ponytail. His standard uniform for the day was a pair of Levi's, a Levi's jacket, and cowboy boots. Nobody knew it to look at him, but he lived in an elegantly designed house in a fashionable residential section of Maryland. He drove a BMW 740iL, and his daughters were honor students and equestrian trophy winners. He'd also created and designed a technically advanced computer named Max that was nearly human. He'd programmed photos of his wife into the holographic image that appeared when he talked to it. Yeager smiled as Pitt extended his hand.
"Well, well, the scourge of the dismal deep is home again. What brings you to my world of electronic manipulation?"
Pitt opened Egan's leather case and unwrapped the misshapen greenish object taken from the cruise liner. "I'd like to have this analyzed and identified." Yeager examined the odd-shaped thing for a moment.
"I'll have the chemistry lab do a number on it. Unless it has a complicated molecular structure, I should have an answer for you in 2 days. Anything else?"
Pitt passed over the video cassettes from the Abyss Navigator. "Computer enhance and digitize these into three-dimensional images."
"Can do."
"One final thing before I head home." Pitt laid a drawing on the desk. "Have you ever seen a company logo like this?" Yeager examined Pitt's crude drawing of the three-headed dog with a snake for a tail and the word Cerberus beneath. He stared at Pitt queerly.
"You're opening a real can of worms if you connect the Cerberus Corporation with the hijacking of the Deep Encounter." The Cerberus Corporation, Pitt said, uttering each syllable slowly. I should have known. The conglomerate owns most of the U.S. domestic oil fields, copper and iron mines, and its chemical division makes 1,000 different products. It was the three-headed dog that threw me. I failed to make the connection. All very relevant when you think about it, said Yeager. Each head stands for a division of the company. What's the source for the dog? In reply, Yeager sat at his computer and typed on the keyboard. In a chamber just opposite his console, the face and figure of an attractive woman appeared in three dimensions. She was dressed in a one-piece bathing suit.
You called? She said.
Hello, Max. You know Dirk Pitt.
Yes, I am familiar with him. How are you, Mr. Pitt?
Fair to middling, as they say in Oklahoma. And you, Max, how are you? The face changed to an angry pout.
This stupid bathing suit Hiram put on me, it doesn't flatter me at all.
Would you prefer something else? Asked Yeager.
An elegant Armani suit and high heel. Ankle strap sandals by Todd's would be nice.
Yeager's fingers flew in a blur over the computer keyboard. Then he sat back to admire his handiwork.